And when I see a boundary, when you're creating a boundary, you're not creating a wall. Like, a boundary is not meant to have you be isolated. A boundary is meant for you to be able to have more of this force field-like energy. And you could see through the boundary. You know, you could, that person can see your boundary, and you can see that other person through your boundary. So there's a mutual understanding of seeing and perceiving where this boundary is. And it doesn't keep you isolated. I feel like that's what people get afraid of, is like, if I set this boundary, I'm gonna lose people. Boundaries can show you what you do and do not like. That's basically what boundaries can do for you.
In your divine essence, you shine. In your divine essence, you thrive. I'm your host, Riss, and you're listening to Essence Podcast.
Hey, soul babes, welcome to the Essence Podcast. I'm Riss, and in this podcast, I love to talk about all things creativity. You can see me as your woo-woo bestie, you know, the one you get to talk to about the mysteries of life. The one you see 222 on the microwave, I'm that girl you want to go and tell, you know, like, that understands what that means. It's those angel numbers speaking with your ancestors and communing with your guides. Like, this is what it's about. And on top of that layer, well, under that layer, is that essence, that core energy of just connecting to your creativity, what makes you tingle inside, what are your pleasures, what are your fears. This is where the essence thrives. It thrives beneath the surface, underneath all the layers of parental views, of how you grew up, your story. Underneath all that is pure potential energy of creation that has made you, and that has the power within you to make other things in your life. So essence is really the key of what we're at here. We're at the spiritual level, the mental level, the physical level, and the emotional level of who you are and all that you are. So come along with me as we get into this week's episode. It's getting very spooky in here. It's the season of the witch, because that's what we's about over here. I have this beautiful golden skull that I've gotten. This was my first skull that I got when I first moved into my apartment with my boyfriend. And he's been a gem. I don't have a name for him, her, but I'm going to call. She's going to be a girl and her name's Sparkles. And that's going to be it. That's what she's called. Anyways, in this week's episode, we are, yes, getting very festive in here. Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. It has always been, actually. I remember my last year trick-or-treating. That was with my friend, my bestie, Vicky Poo. Victoria, shout out to you. I know you remember this memory. We just put it on our group chat the other day, a photo of us. I was like, a Dia de los Muertos. It was like the Day of the Dead with the skull painted on my face and wearing the like black laced dress. And she was a minion. This was our last year of high school, our senior year. And I remember that we were like, this is going to be our last year. No more trick-or-treating. This is it. And although we didn't want it to be, you know, because I really don't think somebody is going to be given an adult candy. I mean, we look super young, so we probably could have passed for another few years. Halloween has always just been a time where I get to express myself in any type of way, like painting my face and wearing just anything that my inner child wanted to express. And I feel like Halloween as an adult allows you to still tap into that essence of your inner child, this creative place where you get to be anything and everything. And I enjoy Halloween just for that. It's just fun and it gets very spooky. I remember my grandma used to take us to Halloween Horror Nights and she was also indulging in the spookiness. It was so funny because seeing my grandma go out there in Halloween Horror Nights with such like a with such an openness, like she was about it. She was about being like in the spooky world and then getting like a little frightful from it and then laughing it off. And it was always just such beautiful medicine. And I feel like that's what Halloween feels like internally. It's like beautiful medicine for the shadowy parts of me that tend to scare me sometimes, and I allow myself to face my fears around this time. Oh, also, I wanted to mention that we just had a Halloween party. It was called a Halloween house party. My boyfriend was actually the one that hosted it. I was kind of this co-director, co-hosting, I guess. I was a DJ. DJ Riss in the house. I literally practiced so much to be, like, I was afraid to go up there and perform, but I practiced. And unfortunately, the day of the show, we were running late, so I had, like, half of my set cut off. I feel like I was overprepared, but honestly, I guess that's a good thing, you know? But I was able to tap into this persona of being a DJ. I have written it down, part of like this manifestation that I wanted to DJ. And luckily my boyfriend has like a DJ set that he's had for like 13 years. It was actually his dad's before it was his. And he also bought me the software to practice on. And I just took it from there. I just, you know, learned on my own YouTubing it, and I just embodied how as much as I could. At first, I was getting a bit in my head. I'm like, I gotta be a perfection. Like, I gotta be Cascade on this. I gotta be Zoo on the track. You know, I gotta be Dylan Francis. Like, I was literally trying to be all these, like, really big DJ people that make music and make their own, like, mixes. But then I'm like, you know what? Let's just tone it down a little and just do the best we can with what we got. And so I just changed up the energy there. I was just like, this is for fun. This is my first time. Let's just go with it. So I had a blast. I had a blast being DJ Riss, and I hope to see her again very soon. And actually really get into making music, like mixes. Like, that was actually something I really wanted to aim for, but that doesn't happen overnight. That takes time to make a song and mix everything and learn the whole tools and how it works. So eventually I'll get there. It's just a matter of putting in that 1% of feeding DJ Riss persona every day. But yeah, it was a blast. It was called Halloween House Party, and my boyfriend was a wolfman. His costume was inspired by Teen Wolf and the scene where Michael J. Fox is at the prom. So he had like a white tuxedo, and I did his whole makeup, and it was great. You know, like, I didn't even know I could even put on prosthetics on my boyfriend, and I did. Like, you know, I was just really embodying everything in every position that could possibly exist in hosting an event, coordinating an event, art directing an event, and also makeup, everything. For myself, I was Kill Bill, and I had a blonde wig, and I had the like black and yellow jumpsuit, and I had my sword, and it was a vibe. Although I feel like I'm gonna wear this costume again because I didn't really get to like bring it all out. I was like in DJ Riss mode that Kill Bill girl could not get it together. Like, she could not like fully be presented properly. So very soon I'm gonna be wearing that costume again because Halloween day is going to be coming up. So I will be definitely wearing that again. I just really wanted to talk about Halloween because it's here, but this is just the beginning of what I'm actually talking about here on this podcast. What I really want to get into is talking about boundaries. That is something that has been popping up for me in every book that I'm reading. I switch from book to book. I don't really stick with one book. I get kind of bored at it, so I need to like switch it up here and there. So I'm reading like Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I'm reading this Writing to the Bones book, where it's helping me be able to write better because I'm in the process of making a beautiful project, and I really want to just break away any fears I have, any blockages I have on writing. And I'm also reading this Zen sex book, so it allows me to like heal this component of pleasure and not being afraid to be naked in front of my boyfriend, because that's something I was like fearful for a long time. I was literally like scared to take off my clothes in front of my boyfriend. I always had pleasure time in the dark, so when me and my boyfriend have pleasure time in the daylight, I feel weird. I feel literally naked even though I'm already naked. So this Zen sex book is allowing me to like indulge in just like unapologetically being able to enjoy pleasure without there being so much negativity in my head, you know? So there's just layers to what I'm feeling here and what I'm reading. And the last book that I'm reading is called Beyond Codependency. Beyond Codependency has really shown me how to let go of this codependency I have on other people and on authority figures, because this is where it's going to lead into of like me sharing what boundaries are set on. I do want to start off that within this week of even hearing the word boundaries, I've been hearing it on social media, and like it's just been everywhere in sight, the word boundaries. And I want to share how I've been at the dealership twice for like more than 3 hours on Tuesday and Thursday. I was literally at the dealership because the check engine light went on. And honestly, the dealership sort of feels like the DMV for me. Like, it's just like the waiting takes forever. Like, patience is what you're practicing in these places. And luckily, the people I was working with were very nice and welcoming. They made the transition very smoothly. And all in all, within the outcome of it all, we didn't have to pay anything because the warranty covered it. But The waiting in the waiting room was like, it was like a lot, because in the waiting room, it's kind of spacious. It's like there's chairs here and there, and I wasn't like bothered by any like energy per se, but the news was blasting on max capacity. As I'm sitting here like listening to the news, I have my book and I have my laptop, and I'm also trying to get in some writing and some reading, and I'm like working through what I have, like what I can get through while I'm waiting here. And I cannot. I am like super distracted by like what's going on. I was learning things, you know, but at the same time, I could not take a break. Like, my mind was like, what? It was like the next big headline, the next big thing that was going on, or the next like video that was like sucking you in to like watch it. So like they know how to get you hooked. From an observer point of view, it is like hard to set a boundary of when enough is enough. Like, and I'm good. I don't want to consume any more of this talk we got going on here. I want to read my book. This just really had me like really zoom out and see like that we get so consumed because there's no pause on life. There's no real pause in the external environment. Like, it's going, going, going. Like, life goes. Like, it does not stop. And it's up to us to be able to know when we've had enough. I just see this as, like, even animals, like bears, like, they hibernate. They're like, this is enough for me. I'm going to go rest up and then I'll be back. You know, like they have this whole like season of hibernation, and luckily they get to, you know, because they don't have to like really work a job to do that. You know, like they get their food, they get big and fluffy, and they go and hibernate, and then they like go out and do their thing again when they're done. So for us humans, it's hard to get that. It's hard to get this hibernation season. Like, our bodies are exhausted and our bodies go through these like mental shutdowns, breakdowns. And also, like, we get sick. Like, that's another way of our body telling us, like, yo, we had enough. Like, this is it. Like, we got sick, and you have to surrender to the moment. It's like not until those happen that like we set a boundary. We're like, no, we can't go to work today, or I can't. Like, we finally set our boundary. And I'm just like seeing this from like a bigger perspective, because I've been writing recently a project, and in this project I focus a lot on the story. And my story, I've been like dissecting it. I've been looking at it from like a broader perspective, from like a bird's eye view. And in this bird's eye view that I see, I write in my story that I've had a hard time setting boundaries. I've had a hard time like putting my foot down when making my own decisions. For a long time, I let my family, my parents specifically, and authority figures in general run my life. Tell me the, like, you should do this, I think this works for you better. Like, no, go here. You know, like, they make your decisions for you. And at a young age, I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, you don't really know where you're going. So your parents are there to lead the way. And, you know, you're there to just, like, okay, trust them. You know, you believe them. And I feel like for me, I've been gullible. Like, for a long time, I just became this person that would listen, obeyed at such a young age, every single rule. I mean, being the oldest as well, it's like, yes, I don't want to let you down. I believe you. I'm following it. If it makes sense to you and this is where you want me to go, I'm going to do it. So I didn't have boundaries. You know, I didn't really set a lot of boundaries. I did practice some boundaries, but those boundaries, when I would present them, were a bit more with, like, attitude when the time came. So my mom saw a lot more of that than my dad. I would kind of, like, run my mouth on my mom instead of my dad because I was more afraid of my dad than my mom. And in this whole energy that I have going on, this turned into, like, people-pleasing, me not setting boundaries and making choices out of what they thought was best for me. And as I grew up and realized this, I was starting to understand that, like, I'm not even really running my life. Like, my parents are, authoritative figures are, you know, they're telling me what to do and I'm just here following along. And it wasn't until the pandemic, 2020, I was working this job that I didn't really want but was given to me. And at the time it did pay well and it had fell under. And as a blessing in disguise, I look at it now of like, okay, well, in my favor, I guess it was meant to fall under because I don't even know how long I would have been there still if it was still up. Like, I probably would have been people-pleasing, listening all the way, and, like, probably never been to where I'm at now, you know, never gotten to where I'm at now of, like, just having this whole passion and starting this podcast. Like, who knows where my life would have gone if I actually, like, stood there listening to what the authoritative figures said were best for me. So when the pandemic hit and, you know, like the job fell under, I was at this point where I literally was given a pause. I was given this moment to really reflect and look at myself. And during that transition, that's when my mom and I met this holistic healer that practiced vibrational sound therapy in San Diego. And that was really the ping that really opened up my doorway of, like, feeling this drive, this passion, this curiosity for healing and using holistic tools and diving into this, what energy is and the mysteries of life. So because I was so fresh and open and life was just, like, at a standstill and I honestly was just at a point where I don't even know what was going to happen next, opportunities began to open, that door began to open. And after that, that's when I began to realize, like, I actually like art. Like, art is very therapeutic for me. I remember during that time of pause, I bought a miter saw. I made triangle altars out of wood. So I was cutting the wood. I was going to Home Depot. I was cutting the wood. I was, like, sanding it, I was staining the wood, I was making these whole beautiful, intricate pieces for people. And it became a little bit of a success. I was actually like, oh shit, I just made money off of my art. Let's see what else I can do. And so I started doing macrame and I realized, like, painting for myself was just even just therapeutic in general for me. I was taking on just different parts of creativity that I didn't realize I really enjoyed. Like, puzzles were a big deal for me. On the other side of this pause moment, I was also starting to see my shadowy side, the parts of me that were still, like, in this place of where I hadn't actually looked here in such a long time. And one of them was my reading skills. For a long time, I suffered with catching up with reading. I'm a slow reader and I take my time and it takes a while for me to digest things. And I realized that it takes a while for me to digest things because a majority of the things I would read weren't things I was interested in. And during this time of the pause, I bought a book. It was The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. And that book, I was like, ooh, I actually want to read this. I want to indulge in this. And I'm ready to learn more about this spiritual aspect of like what it can teach me and the laws. And as I dive into it, I'm having the hardest time reading this book. I'm like literally beating myself up because I can't read it fast enough, or I'm literally having to like reread the paragraph again, and like I'm startling myself while I'm reading. And as I zoom out now, as I look back at it, I was literally being pretty mean to myself. I was not showing myself compassion at all. Like, I was mimicking what I picked up from the people who told me I could not read, from the authority figures who put it on me that I can't read. So I remember at a very young age, starting with my dad, which happened twice. Like, my dad is not like the most patient person when it comes to learning. He like snaps or like yells if you don't get it right by the like third time. So I remember I had a hard time when I was like 3 or 4 reading on a VHS tape what the name of, I was like, Dad, I want to watch this VHS tape. I want to watch this movie. And I knew what it was, but he was like, okay, read it to me and I'll let you put it on. So I'm trying my hardest to read it and I cannot read it. And he's like yelling at me and saying I can't go nowhere until I read it. And I remember I'm crying and I'm like, oh, like, I don't want to like do this. This is pressure. And like, and I see like my aunt walking by, my grandma. They're just like, I'm like, can you help me? Like, somebody help me. And he's like having me there not leave until I figure out how to read it. And so that was a very stressor point that I remember to this day. There was another incident where he had me like sit there and I didn't know how to draw a star. And he literally, I remember, I would think I was there for like an hour, just him yelling at me on like drawing the star. And like, again, his patience with like learning was not it. It was like very triggering. And on top of that, other than my dad, there was an incident where my first grade or second grade teacher, she had told me that I couldn't read. She like yelled to my parents, yelled at me that I'm never going to catch up with the kids and that I read slow and my level of, you know, competence of like, well, how much I can learn is very low. And so that was another triggering moment. So to be able to catch up with my group, to be able to catch up with my classes and my books and my homework, I always like forced myself, like verbally punched myself or like was very aggressive with myself to get it down and to like hurry up and do it. And like if I couldn't do it, then I would try to go to SparkNotes or like something that like was easy and fast to like get it down and get to the point. So, and sometimes I did pretty bad on my test because of that, because I didn't have enough time. Like, there was just so much going on. It was like, go, 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 go. And so anyways, coming back to this like realization as I'm reading this spiritual book here, I'm like, oh my God, like having the hardest time reading this book. And the whole time I'm reading it, I'm like getting frustrated with myself. And I eventually like make myself sit there and read the whole book. But did I enjoy it? No, I didn't even enjoy reading the book I actually wanted to read. I ended up like crying at the end. I ended up like literally bawling my eyes out, tears falling down, because I made it, like I did it, but it was not satisfying to me. And so this has me just come back to what the boundaries are. It's like layers to this, honestly. I mean, I spoke about the story in the beginning of like the news that I saw. And what I have in relationship to this is like this idea that we as like humans and people that are people pleasers, you know, that look up to other people, that trust other people, that are very gullible, like they are the ones that lack boundaries. They are sponges. They believe everything without discerning. And discernment is such a like a key thing that we all must practice, honestly, because if we're consuming and if we're going out in the world, if we're listening to the news, if we're listening to anybody that we feel knows more than us, we feel like we need to follow them. Like they know, like they are going to teach me and I'm going to learn this way. But in our gut, in our feeling of like how we react on how we feel, we our body responds. Our body responds to this protective energy. Our body responds to like feeling disgusted, shameful. And in this place of not setting boundaries, we just become these sponges. We just take in everything everyone says. We don't think for ourselves. And we start making decisions that are not even for ourselves, but are for others. And it's hard to set boundaries, especially I had a hard time setting a boundary with like my dad or my mom. I eventually, as an adult, was able to set this boundary of like actually being like, no, I'm going to choose what I want to do. And a lot of it became like a rebellion act, but we don't really have to make it be a rebellion act. We can literally just make it be what it is, you know, like by confidently choosing that. But a lot of us, you know, like myself, suffer with having to set boundaries. And when setting boundaries, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. These boundaries, I feel like for us, when we are able to see that it's a boundary that we need to set, it's not until like enough is enough. We're like pushed in the corner and like, this is it. Like, we need to like stop doing this or having somebody take advantage of us or having somebody like tell us what to do. It becomes this place of like where we actually get pushed to the edge, and then eventually we learn or we actually want to set that boundary. It's up to us to, when the boundary comes, when we set that boundary, to use our own authoritative voice. The authoritative figure is to turn on within ourselves. So even with that becomes like this reparenting yourself, because you may have not been taught that, nor have your parents been taught that. They are used to being ran over by maybe their parents when they were younger, so they carry that on and they give that to you. And then you probably feel like when there is somebody under you, that you can run over them. This is sort of like what I'm trying to practice within my own self, is like, I remember I had to also grow up really early, like with watching my brothers. I embodied a lot of what my mom taught me, how to like, how I saw her run my brothers, like how I saw her parent. And I use that authoritative figure to be like, I'm mom mode to you. You're going to look at me and you're going to listen to me. So I use that to like the most exaggerated extent towards my brothers. And now I feel kind of bad that I did that. And I've, you know, apologized for a lot of my actions of what I presented when I was younger with my brothers. But this is ideally the dynamic of where it's at. It's like, we're either going to start mimicking what those authoritative figures did, and we're going to still keep that pattern of seeing authoritative figures do that to us. And it's like, we don't want to carry that on to other people. We want to be able to transmute that and heal that. And even for our own inner child, like when it comes to me reading, I now have to be able to be patient with myself, which I feel like I am at that point now where I am patient with myself, but it took a while to be like, okay, it's all right, it's gonna take you a while to read this book again. Like, I'm switching through different books because I get bored, and I know that if I stay in one place, I'm gonna literally like lose track, like lose my interest. So for me, what works for me is that cycling of books, like changing it up, changing the hats, the personas, like feeding every part of me, not just one layer of me, because I know from a wide perspective, a wide lens view, that I am so many things, and I want to tap into every single one of them. So little by little, I get to feed this person, feed this persona, feed this, feed that. And when it comes now to boundaries, setting those boundaries I've set for myself, I have now realized that I don't want to be a sponge. I don't want to be a sponge and take on so much energy that is not mine. And slowly but surely, that requires saying no, putting your foot down, not in a verbal, like abusive or aggressive way. You're saying it no, straightforward. You let your no's be no's and your yes's be yes's. And when I see a boundary, when you're creating a boundary, you're not creating a wall. Like, a boundary is not meant to have you be isolated. A boundary is meant for you to be able to have more of this force field-like energy. And you could see through the boundary. You know, you could, that person can see your boundary, and you can see that other person through your boundary. And So there's a mutual understanding of seeing and perceiving where this boundary is. And it doesn't keep you isolated. I feel like that's what people get afraid of, is like, if I set this boundary, I'm going to lose people. I raise my hand to this one because this is exactly what happened to me when I set my boundary, when I decided to embody all of me, all of my woo-woo, and just share all aspects of me and really tap into my essence. And I chose myself, and I set the boundary to choose myself and to use my voice, that this ended up turning into where my dad actually didn't like that. He did not like that I set a boundary, or he did not like that I started to express myself and saw us as like, we have nothing in common. Like, we are two different people now. Like, I'm open to where my heart leads me. And for my dad, that scares him. That has limited his perception of like how to see spirituality in all aspects. So I feel like in this place, I have to be able to set my boundary to know, like, this is what I believe in. And I know you believe in yours. And he's setting his boundary. We see clearly what our boundaries are. And we know now. And I know it hurts a little when you have to, like, when you lose somebody, or when you have to take a break from somebody, or when you have to, like, let that energy of relationship go. It hurts. I mean, I know this, I guess. I know this from, like, firsthand of what is happening right now in my life. But the boundary is so important, because if you don't set the boundary, if I don't set the boundary, then I will not be in charge of my life. I will still be listening to what my dad's opinions are. And I want to grow out of that. I want to be able to see that, like, you have your voice, you have your truth, and I have mine. And this sort of meeting in the middle is what I hope eventually we'll have, this understanding of both. When you're in a place of like setting your own boundary, and there are times when people say either or. So say if you live with an alcoholic, then you have this place of like, either you stop drinking or I leave. And this either or can help you and help them understand that, like, everyone has a choice. Nobody is stuck to have to obey that person. They have the choice to either they stop drinking or you leave. Because if they continue to drink, if they continue to be in the same hurtful way that's crossing your boundary, then everyone has a choice here. Either you're gonna stay because that person stopped and they listen to you, or you're going to leave. And they can continue on drinking if they want to, but you're not staying here for it. So the same goes with like either or, in that setting that boundary and giving that person the other option, that either they change with you, they change and respect you, or you leave. And honestly, this is what's circling back into like the essence of why I named it this. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but like, essence for me has just always been this key word of like really tapping back into who I am at the deepest core of my soul, of like, what brings me that pleasure? What feels good in the light and in the dark? What do I want to set a boundary on? What do I feel works for me? What doesn't work for me? And just finding myself through the layers of what boundaries can teach you. Boundaries can show you what you do and do not like. That's basically what boundaries can do for you. And it's, again, when we start to see where we're letting people overrun us, where there's no pause, it's hard to see that because it's just go, go, go. And our bodies will tell us that, again, like if we get sick, our bodies will express that, or if we get a migraine, or if we're at this place of like crunch time when we need to get something done, it's like, okay, now we set a boundary, like no more TV. All right, I can't go to work because I'm sick. Like, this is when the boundaries start to like push themselves. Like, we are not mentally even going in charge of this. It's like, we have to surrender to this at this point. But it is up to us to be able to learn from when that moment takes place on whether we want to continue to set that boundary with discernment and knowing that's our truth, that's not our truth, or that's how we want to move, or that's how we want to not move. Like, it's all up to us to choose that. I send my heart to you to continue to thrive in your essence and understanding the layers of you, from what you like and what you do not like, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And this allows you to attract people that you actually want in your life. Setting a boundary on someone, if it closes the door on something, something better is going to open. It won't stay closed forever. It's up to you to discern whether you want to stay in the torturousness, if you want to stay in the shamefulness. Do you want to stay in the lower three energy centers of survival? Do you want to still feel depressed? Do you want to still feel hurt over something that happened to you a long time ago? That is up to you to discern whether you still want to feed off of that energy or if you want something better. And that, again, comes with the boundary and seeing who in your life is still attracting that lower vibration, that lower version of you. And once you're able to overcome that obstacle of face-to-face, of setting that boundary with that person that continues to pop up from your past now into your present and some maybe in your future, it's up to you. When you set that boundary, then things start to change. Then you start to see yourself shift over. I saw this a lot in college when I had to close a lot of doors. A lot of things were not serving me in college. I was a hot mess. I drank a lot and had a lot of careless nights, you know. So it was up to me to be discerning. I got pushed to my boundary of like, damn, I am living in lack. I am living in like just full on heartbreak that is not making me feel any better. Like the people that I am attracting, the men that I'm calling in, the like parties I'm going to, like none of this is serving me. I was just ready to up level on my life and not be in this like lower state. So I let myself surrender. I literally was like, please God, I'm done with this. Can I just start to like transition my life? I am so over these heartbreaks. That eventually, as one door closed, another door opened. And in that beautiful door was another beautiful set of friends, like my golden girls. I feel like Golden Girls has another name because of the show, but like the golden girls in my head are my besties, the ones that literally were my hype women. They literally taught me how to be a girl's girl. Like, they literally taught me how to love another girl without being jealous, and how to literally have a sister that I can come to and express myself unapologetically. So as soon as one door closed in my college chapter, another door opened, and I allowed myself to surrender to what the outcome was. And that beautiful friend group that helped me heal and helped me rewire my relationship with women. And then only after that, when I started to cut off all these guys that were just like vibrating, just mirroring parts of me that were in a lower frequency, I got my medicine man. I got my love doctor. I got my boyfriend, who ironically had a caduceus on his shoulder. And since then, I've been healing my own relationship that I have with the masculine. And, you know, a lot of the time when I was younger, I grew up around this place of like being taught how to like control a man, how to get what you want, how to like talk to them and like run all over them. Like, it, my perception of like how to be in a relationship was a little bit all wonky and all over the place. And so his patience and his love that he has for me and that we have in our relationship, like, really helped me be able to learn and see that this mirror is not reflecting anything negative back to me. It's literally patiently taking my verbal punches. So it was also realizing that I had a lot to work through within myself, even though I had the boundaries set and I had changed my position and, you know, the universe took me to a different route, a healthier route. I had a lot that I had to work through because internally, subconsciously, I was still radiating at lower levels that I would fall back on. So it takes time to get out of these places that we've had patterns that we're stuck in for so long. So even if we do set a boundary, we might also like let our force field down and somebody might cross it. But it is up to us to like continue to get back up and to continue to set that boundary over again and to work through it. So I really hope you find this message well and that you set your boundaries with whoever, whomever, whatever you need to set it with. Because it is your life. It is your life. I just want to say that again and again because, like, honestly, you get to make the decision. You get to leave the relationship. You get to leave the job. You get to leave the lifestyle that is not serving you. It's up to you. I know there is heartbreak that is combined with it. There is trauma. There's attachments. And it is up to you to be able to analyze all of that while you're setting that boundary to see, is this serving me or is this hurting me? And in that place, you can change up the dynamic. You can change up the energy, the rhythm with every awareness that you bring, with every discerning choice that you make to keep that boundary up. So it's really just keeping your eyes open and being observant in your present moment. Because sometimes, you know, when our eyes close, we might slip up and be in our past. So the awareness of the now allows you to stay in the now. And in that place, you get to create something different, create a potential new future in the awareness of the now, in the boundaries that you set. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I hope that you have a very spooky last week of October. Honestly, I was a little low-key over it because I started decorating in September and I went to Oogie Boogie Nights in August. So Halloween has been just like in the vortex for a very long time than usual. But honestly, I'm just rolling with it and I'm happy to just see where Thanksgiving's going and where Christmas is going. And it's just a very awesome time for me because I get to indulge in being with my family and I get to practice boundaries with my family. It's like always such a beautiful yet bitter moment because sometimes, you know, just working through the energy, setting boundaries, and we don't really know what's going to happen next and who's going to like have their attitude or if my grandpa's going to show up this time because, you know, he has his moods where he wants to be part of the family and then sometimes where he's just like in a grumpy mood and doesn't show up. So, you know, everyone's got their own personalities in the family and you got to work through it. So we'll eventually get to that level when it becomes Thanksgiving, you know, just giving some helpful tips and just navigating through that energy when it comes. But, you know, setting the boundaries now, allowing yourself to see what now the boundary you can set for yourself can give you the upper hand to be able to move out more and more into the world. So starting with your intimate people, what can you intimately set boundaries on? And then work your way outwards because everything that's within is reflected without. So keep that in mind. I love you, soul babes, and I can't wait to see you in the next one. And also, I just want to close it out with saying that if anything from this episode felt like it connected with you, I would love for you to share how you feel, anything that you want to share on the topic of boundaries. Anything, honestly, I'm an open book and I would love to hear your feedback or if there's anything you would like for me to talk about on this podcast. I am here to be this person you can talk to because I am your woo-woo friend and I love you very much. So yeah, again, if you want to share this video too as well with other beautiful soul babes, please do and like and subscribe. And if you also want to listen to this episode or any of the episodes on any other platforms, I'm on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So I'll see you in the next one, soul babe. Bye-bye.